The Business Travel Podcast, brought to you by the Business Travel Magazine.
Hi, my name's Bev Ferris and I'm the editor of the Business Travel Magazine, and I would like to welcome you to our latest Business Travel Podcast. Today I am here with David Pastuca, who is Chief Marketing Officer of Locomote, based over in, where are you again, David?
In sunny Australia.
Is it sunny over there? Because you're going into your winter now.
We're midst winter, but we are getting some nice sunny days, which is nice during these lockdown days.
Of course it is. And whereabouts in Australia are you?
From Melbourne.
Melbourne. Fantastic. So are you, where are you at in terms of lockdown at the moment? Are you in a lockdown in Melbourne again?
We are. Unfortunately, we're in lockdown again. So for Melbourne, this is lockdown number 6. They've just extended it by another 2 weeks. So we've got the homeschooling happening at the moment. So it's a house full of homeschooling, work, and all that fun stuff that goes along with it.
So are you allowed to actually leave the house to go shopping and walking and things like that?
So it's pretty restrictive. So we're allowed to go out for like 5 main reasons. A few of those being for shopping, caregiving, for exercise, a walk, but they've literally just closed children lock the parks and that sort of thing. So it sort of limits, you know, what the kids can do, which is a shame. But yeah, it is pretty restrictive at the moment.
Have you got a garden?
Yeah, we do. We've got the backyard and the front and that. So like, they do get out and about, but being young, they've missed pretty much half the year of school being home. So my son, my middle child, is in grade prep, so he's missed his first year of school. Half of it has been done from home. So, but you do what you do, right?
So how old? So you've got three children.
Three children, Chelsea, and for those over on your side of the world, yes, it is Chelsea after the football club. snuck that past the wife. So she's my oldest, 8. My son Leo, who is turning 6 tomorrow. And my youngest, Stella, who is 4 years old.
Oh, so happy birthday to Leo for tomorrow. What's the plan? Obviously, nothing too crazy in the lockdown, but what's something in the garden, I guess?
Yeah, nothing too crazy. He's got his gifts that he's wanted. He gets to pick his own dinner. We'll make him feel special. His class friends will sing happy birthday to him. And, we'll make him feel special tomorrow.
Oh, so has he chosen his favourite dinner yet?
Not yet, but it's definitely it's looking like a pizza night if he gets his way.
of course. That would be my son's favourite as well. So as you know, David, this podcast is for people to get to know you a bit better than your formal LinkedIn profile. So obviously we've got to know already that you've got three children. You live in Sydney, and you started, I know, your company with your cousin Ross, who unfortunately was supposed to be joining us today but hasn't been able to make it. But talk me through. So you've your cousin. So where's the relationship? Is it your mum or your dad's side, or
from it? Yeah, it's from our dad's side, our father's brothers. Yeah, we've been working together, since we were kids. I was 14 years old in high school, and Ross is a few years older than me. And, we'd been working together all the way back then, starting from my cousin Ross's Auntie Frances' kitchen table. We had a design and web development agency for years, and thousand different businesses in between that, and then fell into the lovely world of business travel.
Wow.
I've been sucked in ever since.
So you must get on very well then.
There is a funny story though, which I'll quickly go through here, is that we there's no holds bar. So if we're having an argument or a debate, we're both Italian background, so our discussions do get heated, especially in the early days. And then forget, when we had our first few employees, Ross and I were just arguing about a design feature of the Locomote platform, and then we'll just go on bananas at each other. And then the staff were just looking at us like, are these guys going to fight? And we're like, no, guys, it's all good. We're going to have lunch now. Let's go. This is how we talk. Everyone was freaking out. So it was a bit of baptism by fire with that. But yeah, we're passionate, and we know each other really well, obviously, having worked with each other. Spend more time with each other than we have done with our wives over the years. So we just know how to talk with each other and just the way we work.
So you're almost like brothers, do you think, rather than cousins?
Nine times out of ten, everyone just goes, oh, yeah, brothers, and half the time I don't even correct them. Because, yeah, we basically are.
And do your wives get on with each other as well?
They do. The wives get along. Our kids are of similar age, and we literally live, we could probably kick a football probably two times, and we reach each other's house. And the park I was talking about before is in between us. So, yeah.
So are you able to see each other now during the lockdown, or presumably not?
It's all no, we can't calls. Now. It's a Zoom call. So that's, yeah, part of tomorrow night for Leo via Zoom family. Happy birthday for him. But, yeah, that's as restrictive as it is at the moment.
And so when you are out of lockdown again, do you still work in your respective homes, or do you have an office that you go to?
Yeah, we've got an office in South Melbourne, but our team, the whole of Locomote's fully distributed and been remote since day one. So we go into the office for client meetings and for team meetings. And then, you know, the team are fantastic and full trustworthy, and everyone operates remotely. So we've had that whole remote work life before it became a thing during COVID.
And going back to the Chelsea reference, so how come you're a fan of Chelsea?
Well, Ross's brother, John, he's a big EPL fan, and he was always watching the games. And growing up, I'd watch them with Johnny. And this was in the day when Gianfranco Zola was playing for Chelsea, and he was one of the big Italian players in the EPL. I fell in love with Zola, fell in love with Chelsea, and then I've been sucked in ever since. And been a crazy follower since then.
Oh, fantastic. So, and both your parents are Italian?
Both parents Italian, yes. Yep.
And whereabouts in Italy are they from?
So my mother is from Calabria and my father is from Sicily.
Okay.
So all from the south.
And when did they come? When did they come over to Australia?
So my father was born here, but my mother came across when she was young. I think she was like 6 years old when my nonno and nonna, my grandparents, migrated over to Australia. She's been here. Yeah, ever since then.
Okay, and is your wife originally from Italian background as well, or is she?
She's Maltese, so close enough.
Wow.
She was from Italy. Don't say that. She probably can't hear me now. But no, she's Maltese. beautiful family.
And do you speak to your children in Italian at all, or can you speak Italian?
I speak what's called a dirty Italian. So it's the heavy dialect. My nonna from Calabria, she always talked to me in Italian. So I talked to her back in that. I thought I could speak Italian until I went to Italy and no one understood me until I went to a Calabrese pizza joint and I felt like I was home. But I understood them, they understood me. And that was my favorite part of the trip. And then after I walked out of there, I was just a foreigner.
There's a dialect that your mother.
There's a dialect. There's a bit of a twang, you know, to spin on certain words. And it's just the way that I was brought up talking with my grandparents, which is helped me. My kids speak more Maltese than I can speak it, so they almost can speak it quite well and understand it well because of their grandparents. But yeah, for me, forget it.
So let's crack on with some of these questions then. What is one thing, David, people would be surprised to know about you?
But previous to starting Locomote, Ross and I used to own a nightclub, believe it or not. We were nightclub owners.
It's another world,
another story. In Melbourne, yes. Had it for 3 years. Was an adventure, let's just say that.
Okay, what kind of age were you when you had this nightclub?
Oh, geez, I think she's gone back now close to about, I think it's almost 13 years now. So I would have been, so it was before I was married, so I was early 20s when we had the nightclub. So it was, it was a fun time, and we had other cousins that were DJing and friends. So it was working in there. So it was, part work, part partying. But now I can't go to a bar or club now and not look at things. It's garden for life.
What do you mean? Like, what kind of things?
You're always looking at things. Like, whenever you're working, you're looking at are people okay, is there any fights going on, is everything working well. You just your eyes just darting across the place 100 miles an hour. So now whenever you go to a bar, you're looking at how's their setup, what's going on here, how many security guards they got. It's crazy. It's weird.
What your enjoyment of going out. So what kind of nightclub was it? What kind of music were you playing? What kind of
It was a nice house music. Like there was three nights. It was your typical Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So you had uni nights, school night on the Thursday, your R&B on Friday, and then on Saturday was more your dance and housey music. It was good fun.
Were you up front? Were you at the bar? Were you sort of just in the back office, letting your staff get on with things?
We're a bit everywhere. So we had had to have our liquor license and be able to serve. So we'd jump in when we had to, but it was more just running around the place, making sure things were running well, and doing a bit of schmoozing as well, with just trying to make sure everyone was having a good time.
So with COVID, do you think you're better off in the travel business, or would you have been better off in the nightclubs have all been closed? Have they been open at all in the lockdown in Melbourne? Have they got to that stage?
Look, it's the hospitality industry in Australia has been really tough. I've got family friends who are own cafes and things like that, and it's been really tough for them, especially when it's what's happening here, like a snap lockdown where it would be Thursday afternoon, and then all of a sudden and this happened a couple of weeks ago, where it was Thursday afternoon, bang, tonight 8 p.m we're going to snap lockdown for 2 weeks, and these restaurants and cafes have bought stock and have got their staff rostered on, and now what do they do with all that? Yes, they can do the home meals and that, but you're not going to get the traffic. So it's been really tough, as I'm sure it has been over there and everywhere across the globe. But it's been considerably tough for the hospitality industry, that's for sure.
Definitely. Okay, moving on. What's your most treasured possession?
Most treasured possession would be my wedding ring, which was my father's. He passed away when I was 2.5, 3. So that's my most prized possession, that's for sure.
Oh, that's lovely. And what's your proudest moment?
Proudest moment was obviously being a football fan, I've got my kids to playing football, and my daughter decided to stop. And that was fine. So we supported her in her own what she wanted to do. And then out of nowhere, she's like, "Dad, I wanna play again." And this was this year. I'm like, "All right, let's do it." And so she started training. They needed a coach, and then I got roped into coaching. It was my old soccer club where I used to play at. And she's been loving it. She's been into it. She's been watching videos. She's been training hard. She's been one of the, and it's a team. It's a mixed team of boys and girls, and we're one of the only teams in the league. They've got a good mixture of girls in their team, and she's been amazing. It's been a proud moment for me. Under eights as well. So it's been a proud moment.
Yeah. And what position does she play?
She plays the same position that I did. So she was central defender. So like almost like sweeper, stopper in the back. She's got a loud voice that loves to tell people what to do. She's taking that role on really well.
And she's got the right name for it as well. So would your dream be that one day she would play for Chelsea?
Well, I've got three kids. So I've got one of them's going to make it in. Leo loves playing. Stella wants to play. So I've got all three of them would be amazing. But one of them's going to make it.
You're pushy football father, aren't you? I can see.
it's not just me. It's just my wife. We are. It's a crazy football family here. We love it. We love it, which is nice. And the kids get into it and they love it and enjoy it. So it's good fun. The weekends are just football time.
Have you actually seen Chelsea play live at any stage?
I have. So when I used to come to, back when we could travel internationally to the UK, I would just ensure that my meetings lined up when Chelsea was playing home, and I just happened to be around the area. I've seen two games live, which is it's been an amazing experience.
Oh, fantastic. Okay, who would play you in the film of your life?
I was thinking about this question. I'm like, who would play me? I'd have to say, I reckon Mark Ruffalo. If you know him, he's played the Hulk in the Marvel movies.
Oh yeah, I can see.
Yeah, he's a little bit quirky, a bit funny. Yeah, I reckon I'd get him to play. You know, stay away from your George Clooney's and that sort of thing. I'll go with Mark.
I can see that. I can see why you've chosen him. Okay, what's your most embarrassing moment?
Most embarrassing moment. Which one can I pull from here? It was probably when I was given a talk on stage once, and my presentation just completely froze and backfired. And I hadn't done enough preparation. It was just amidst a crazy amount of time. I just had Chelsea. She just had been born. It was getting used to being a new dad, and I had a presentation. And when I was giving the presentation, it just froze on me. And then I just had to just wing it because I'd forgotten what I had on the slides. I remember the topics, and it was probably about 5 minutes into a 20-minute presentation. So I just winged the next 15 minutes. So that was... I was sweating bullets during that presentation. It was warm in the room. I was sweating. So that was, I did a pretty good job, but I was, it was definitely, it felt embarrassing.
That's everyone's worst nightmare, isn't it? I can feel for you there. What can you see from your desk, David? Have you got a nice view from you've got the blur background. So I can't see what your office is even like, but.
It's books behind me. I've got a U-shaped office in here. So you know, my wife, my kids work in here. I'm just looking at a monitor wall, and I've just got books and photos of the family above me. But nice and simple.
You haven't got a window in there. It's a windowless
window to my window to my right. So on my right hand side.
Oh, and what does that look over the garden?
Yeah, we've got a nice wall of trees in front of our driveway. So it's nice green. Nice greenery in front of us, which is nice.
Have you got a swimming pool? I guess you have if you live in Australia.
We do. Although being wintertime, it's not getting used as much. But we do. In summertime, the kids live in there.
And do you live close to the beach? Or how far is the nearest beach from
where? Probably about 20, 30 minutes. So it's not too far for us.
And do you surf? I'm just going through all the stereotypes here. Do you surf?
I personally hate the sand. I can't stand it. The kids love it, but I'm anti-sand.
Yeah, you're anti-sand, and you live in Australia.
It is weird. I know.
What's wrong with sand?
Just messy, gets in everywhere. It's just a mess. I don't like it.
Okay.
Take me to a grass field or a playground with the kids any day over the beach.
Or a football pitch. Do you play football yourself, obviously, if you're coaching a team? Presumably you played as a child, or do you still play?
I did. No, my football career is done and dusted now. I played indoor until my last injury, and indoor soccer is now pause and stop. So I'll just stick to coaching my daughter's team.
Oh, well done. So who has been your best boss, David?
Well, funnily enough, I've never really had a boss apart from obviously your teenage years when you're doing your part-time jobs and that sort of thing. So it's always been, you know, myself and working with Ross, we've been our own bosses. And we've just really seen like our parents and our uncles and aunties, you know, everyone in the families almost pretty much had their own business. So we just thought that was normal thing to do and to be your own boss. So yeah, I think it's probably looking at them and being inspired by them as more of a outside boss and mentor and family mentor for us as well. So yeah, never had a boss really that aspect.
So if you were to say, so you wouldn't count Ross as a boss?
No, I would not.
You were the boss.
He probably would, but no.
He's not your boss. Ross is not your boss. Okay, what's the best gift you've ever received?
Best gift? This is going to show my age. I'm only 35, but the navigation and the iPhone and that was announced back. And so when I was dating my wife, we got what we call in Australia here is like a Malway. So it's a book, and it was like had all the roads and the streets to have to navigate around the city. This is pre, you know, having the navigation system and the TomTom. And I was hopeless at reading the Malways. I'd get lost every time. So I'd be calling up my then girlfriend, Grace, asking for directions. So then on my 18th birthday, because we've been together for quite a long time now, she bought me a TomTom. So then I don't know if that was to stop me calling her and asking for directions or to help me, but that was, yeah, that was a great gift because I felt like I can go anywhere now. I don't know about asking anyone.
No, it's funny when you think back to the days of maps and how we used to find our way around without sat navs and phones and the amount of arguments people used to have.
This is the faster way. No, this is the faster way. No, this way. Go this way.
What keeps you awake at night?
I'm always thinking. So I'm always thinking about the next day, what I could have done better to in the current day. So it's hard. It's been hard to switch off. And I think this last year has made it even worse because you're working from home. So it's almost like a non-stop work. You have a quick lunch, you're back in, you know, the office. So I think, yeah, what keeps me up at night is just is work. And, you know, we've got pretty big, ambitious goals, what we want to achieve with Locomote. So it's always thinking about the next thing that we can do, what can we get an edge. So, yeah, it's always thinking about the next day and how we can be better than the last.
And do you kind of ring up Ross at ridiculous times of the night and go, oh, just thought we should do this, or do you kind of keep...
We're better now. We used to be quite stupid and the messages were flying around, but now with like Slack and WhatsApp, you might drop a late night message and don't expect the other person to respond to the next day. So it's more of a just vent your ideas out. So it's there and it's out of your brain. And then whoever looks at it at whatever time, they can pick it up from there. But yeah, we used to be a lot of late night messaging on ideas coming through.
What's the best advice you've been given? You know, personal or career orientated.
Yeah. The best advice I've been given is, and it's been used quite a bit, it's that you're never wrong to do the right thing. There's many times where, you know, you're faced with a decision to make and one that might, you know, suit you better financially or whatever it is, that may not be the right decision to make or may affect someone else. So that's always stuck in my head when making decisions. And, it's one I'll look to pass on to my children as well.
Okay. And just to lighten the mood a bit, what's your most annoying habit?
My most annoying habit.
It's annoying. Ross here, really, to answer this question.
Yeah, no, you probably do. It'd be interesting to see what he said on this one. Yeah. my probably most annoying habit is... probably always following up on people. And it's probably always following up on Ross because if I ask him something or message him and he'll take like not respond back and I'll be like, all right, mate, where are you? So I'll be like, touch base. And that's probably my in my persistence in how I do everything. If I don't hear back from someone or if I don't get a no, until I get a no, it's a yes. So I'm going to keep asking. So that's probably my most annoying habit, okay. I'd say.
And what's Ross's most annoying habit? It's for not being here.
all right, let me pick one. There's a few. No,
there's more than one.
So I'm always like to be at places early or plan it and get there. Even if I'm an hour early, half an hour early, I'd rather. Where Ross, and this is probably more when we're going taking a flight. He had timed it to perfection where we're literally parking the car and then walking onto the plane. And that gives me anxiety. I can't stand that. I'd rather be early, get to the gate, have a bit of time, not have to stress. Because there's been a few times where we're making a mad dash to the terminal gate. So that's probably his most annoying habits on, let's leave in 5 minutes, let's leave in 10 minutes. And then we're just busting just to get there on time.
Yeah. Okay, I can understand that. Talking of flights, if you're on a flight, who would be your ideal seating partner, and what would you talk about?
My ideal seating partner. This could be anyone.
Anyone, living, dead, imaginary. Well, not completely imaginary. We have to know who they are as well.
Okay. I a little bit cliche. I have to say, Dwayne Johnson, The Rock. Like I've been a big admirer of his work ethic, how he's expanded from, you know, from wrestling to doing everything. I love to sit with him and pick his brain on how he's built his dynasty and where he's going. Because you can just learn so much.
He's huge, isn't he? Wouldn't he take up too much of your space on a flight? I think you want to go on a long flight next to him.
I will be in business class at least if it's a long haul flight. So it'd be a bit of space. pretty special. Well, otherwise, if we're in, I'll be sitting on his lap if it was normal. but I reckon he'd have some crazy stories and a big good laugh. So that would be good fun.
I thought you were gonna. Say a Chelsea player. Then who, if you could sit next to a Chelsea player on a flight, who would it be and why?
Probably Frankie Lampard.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, just an absolute weapon of Chelsea for so long and consistent. So again, too, the stories that he would be able to spin out would be a good chat.
And presumably you were particularly happy with the result of the football recently, the Italy. I'd have liked to.
Yes.
Yes. Where did you watch it?
I did. I watched it at my old football club here in Melbourne. So we it's an Italian club. So we all got together and watched it live. It was great. It was a really great tournament. I've been watching Italy since I was a young boy, and it's probably the best and most attacking that I've ever seen them. It was the most un-Italy-like team that I've ever watched, if that makes sense. So it was really exciting to watch and see, and it was really happy for how well they did. It was a shame for London, for England, but it was I tell you, we've got a lot of English friends, and hearing how many times it was coming home, it was nice to win at the end.
And on that note, I think we'll finish. Oh, it's been great talking to you, David. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your I guess it's the evening there. Is it what time
evening,
is it?
Yeah.
There? So you're
it's 8:30 p.m. and we're about to set up for Leo's birthday. So when he wakes up, he's got a bit of fun to come to.
Oh, have a fantastic! Oh, he has a fantastic day, even though he can't get out and about. And hopefully, when are you out of the lockdown in a few weeks? Do you say? Or
in 2 weeks, unless it gets extended again. So let's hope we're out in 2 weeks.
Yeah, and let's hope you can make it over to the UK soon for another Chelsea game.
Well, that would be nice.
Take care. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, Bev. Thank you.
Bye.
The Business Travel Podcast, brought to you by the Business Travel Magazine.